You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. It is Tuesday, May 26, 7:32 Central Time. Joining me by phone this morning, Dr. Leopold Sanchez. He's the Director for Hispanic Studies in the Werner R.H. and Elizabeth Ringer Krauss Chair for Hispanic Ministries and Associate Professor of Systematic Theology at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Good morning, Dr. Sanchez. So good to have you with us this morning. Dr. Sanchez, tell us about your work at Concordia Seminary.
Well, I have been serving at Concordia Seminary now for over 10 years. As a professor of systematic theology, I teach courses like Lutheran Mind, where we get to introduce students to the way Lutheran Christians look at the world, how they talk about all things in view of God. And so we engage them in things like law and gospel, justification and sanctification, the centrality of the Word of God in the Christian life. So that's kind of boot camp for them. That's their first year of seminary. And then I get to teach, you know, some of the courses that are required, God and creation, Christ and salvation, Holy Spirit and Word of God. So I get to do that, and usually I get the electives on the Holy Spirit. And other than that, the privilege of serving at the Center for Hispanic Studies, which is our Spanish language formation program, and we have a pastoral track and a deaconess track. And this is for primarily for immigrant students to the United States whose first language or primary language still Spanish. And we've been doing that for, you know, over 25 years now. So it's education for the formation of pastors in the Spanish language is alive and well, even in the United States.
Where are the students who come through the Center for Hispanic Studies, pastors and deaconesses, where are they serving today?
Oh, they are all over the map, let me tell you. Most of them, probably all of them, are actually serving in the United States. So it's designed really for immigrants who come here and are here to stay, you know, and they find places where they attend Lutheran churches, and they over time they develop, the desire to study for the ministry. And we have them from Texas, from Florida, you know, from the Southwest, California. We have them from Northern California. We have them from Illinois. There is no place in the United States nowadays that you will not find, or at least very few places where you will not find people of Hispanic background. So they really do come from all over the United States.
And tell us about the National Hispanic Lutheran Convention.
Yeah, well, so when you have a relatively small but growing sector of the church, like the Hispanic Latino, you find ways of getting together, you know, so that you can network. Mm-hmm. And also so that you have a space to invite others who are involved in Hispanic ministry. Hispanic ministry in our synod has certainly involved also non-Hispanic peoples, you know, who have a love for the people, for the culture, for the language, and so on. And so it's been now the fifth Hispanic National Convention. It takes place every 3 years. Before that, there used to be what they call encuentros, to encounter someone, basically another word for a gathering. Mm-hmm. And they used to have those, but eventually they said, you know, we should probably come together as a bit more of an official body. Whatever the convention says, the Hispanic Convention is advisory, you know, so it's not something that congregations and synod have to absolutely follow through on. Mm-hmm. However, it is helpful as the convention gathers, the Hispanic convention, it is helpful to hear sort of the sense of the house, you know, on where we're at, what kinds of things we think are important, who do we appoint to do some follow-up, and then at the convention, those who are appointed to serve as officers every 3 years, then go to the various entities of Synod, sort of follow through on what attendees would like to see done in Hispanic ministry. And so, you know, we connect to Synod, Office of the President. We connect to the Office of National Mission, which also deals with, you know, the Hispanic church planting and congregations and so on. And perhaps the Concordia University system, the seminaries, if need be. But one of the big pluses of the convention is actually its educational component. Our conventions are a little odd, you know, in that we don't do a lot of business. We actually do a lot more education and a lot more fellowship. And so that sets us a little bit apart from a regular convention. You know, business is kind of limited. And we just really spend a lot of time with one another and a lot of time learning. So that gives you a little sense of Hispanic conventions. You know, at some point, we decided to sort of get together and just talk with one another. And this is now the fifth one. I think the first one was in Los Angeles. Then the next one, I think, was in Irving, Texas. Then there was one also in Orlando, Florida. The last one was in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and this one now in Tampa. So I think we might have to go to the East Coast 3 years from now, you know.
Sure, sure. Have all the regions covered.
Yeah, we try to do that so that we can reflect, you know, sort of the diversity of the Hispanic peoples and allies in Hispanic ministry, you know, and the geographical sense of where they might be serving and so on.
Sure. You bring up a good point that Hispanic ministry happens in many different geographical locations. What is unique? Is there anything unique about Hispanic ministry in all those geographical locations? Obviously, language is certainly a connection, something that's common through all of those ministries. Is there anything else that is common across those ministries that's unique to Hispanic ministry?
Well, there are some commonalities, I think. One of them is that Hispanic ministry in the United States, and Hispanic is typically a term used for the United States. You know, when you talk about south of the U.S.-Mexico border, we tend to think of Latin America, you know, and the Caribbean. So it's kind of a little bit of maybe a different use of language, but when we talk about Hispanics, and therefore in the United States, you have the issue of many languages being spoken, right? And so primarily as a public language, English, which means that your Hispanic ministry takes a different shape, that even though Spanish may be the language of the heart for many, especially first-generation immigrants, when you get to second and third generations, there is also English being used quite often. So, you know, we have Hispanic congregations or mission plants where you might have a bilingual service or you might have a Spanish service with elements of English. And so this idea that you're crossing sort of a cultural border, a linguistic border, that happens all the time, all over the place geographically in the United States. So it's, you know, not only crossing the border, but also, you know, living with a foot on both sides and negotiating that, you know. And so how does that work for the worship setting? How does it work for pastoral care? And so one of the things that we have been trying to do for our conventions is to make them bilingual. And there are various degrees of success with that over the years, you know. But this year we're trying to do the same again. And so we've been very kind of public about it. What are different creative ways in which, without doing everything twice, you know, we can have a bilingual convention, you know. So if somebody presents in Spanish, maybe the PowerPoint is in English with the bullet points.
I see.
Or vice versa. Because we also, you know, don't want the second, third generation Hispanic to feel excluded.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
From Hispanic ministry. Not to mention, you know, Anglos who might be interested.
Sure.
And so that's just a reality, you know, of the United States. And so it is reflected geographically, and everyone sort of struggles with that geographically and how to make that work. So that's kind of one example of a commonality, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for instance, at the Center for Hispanic Studies at Concordia Seminary, we are encouraging our faculty to introduce English here and there in various classes. Also, we encourage students who can handle English to take courses in English, maybe, or to write their papers in English, even if they are taking the class in Spanish. We also have Anglo students in the MDiv program,
mm-hmm.
other, you know, who will take a class in Spanish and then write their work in English. Or if I'm teaching the class in English at the SEM, I might let them do their work in Spanish. So we're trying to cross-pollinate, you know.
Sure. Sure, I can see that there are certainly advantages to offering education in a bilingual setting, but also worship and fellowship, things like that. That in a bilingual setting, albeit has, you know, although it has its challenges, there can be.
Yeah.
I can see how it can be more inclusive, as you pointed out, with the second and third generation Hispanic families as well. That it's helpful so that you're not excluding those who are bilingual, may grow up in a home where both English and Spanish are spoken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and also, you know, there isn't one model for Hispanic ministry, right? So you have to see what population you're reaching out with the gospel, what congregation you're talking about. If it's a primarily first-generation congregation, then that looks a little bit different, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If you worship at the same time with the Anglo-speaking or the English-speaking group, that's going to look different. So it just depends. But language is, as you know, a major, if not the most important, way into the heart and into the culture. And so, you know, that's, and even the way, you know, scripture is read, or the way that you teach the confessions, or the ways you teach Christian doctrine, you know, the pool of the language, you know, to get you into the biblical world and to get you into, you know, the texts and the catechism. So that becomes a very important question, and you just have to sort of, you know, rather than thinking either or, just kind of think both and. I mean, you know, we're celebrating Pentecost, right? It's okay to proclaim the gospel in as many languages as we can to as many cultures as we can.
That's great. We need to take a quick break. We're talking with Dr. Leo Sanchez. He's the director of Center for Hispanic Studies here at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. We need to take a quick break. We'll come back from that break and talk a little bit more about the upcoming National Hispanic Lutheran Convention here on His Time on Worldwide KFUO.
Worldwide KFUO is the most trusted place for sacred music of the church every night. Weeknights after evening prayer, you can hear sacred music on KFUO in St. Louis, streaming online at kfuo.org. Our online stream is in high-quality stereo, so you can hear the difference wherever you listen, on your computer or Wi-Fi radio, and on your smartphone. We're Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news for 90 years.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson with an invitation for you to join me over the weekday noon hour for Moments of Assurance, your lunchtime spiritual recipe. You'll enjoy encouraging scriptures, a bit of Bible history and trivia, news items, humor, the kids' corner, and more, all mixed in with faith-strengthening sacred music, a blend just right for your midday hour. So join me, won't you? That's Moments of Assurance over the weekday noontime hour here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
By calling 800-TEL-LINK, you're connected to the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services toll-free confidential information line for maternal and child health. TEL-LINK operators will connect you directly to resources on healthy pregnancy and parenting, WIC, immunizations, mental health services, child care services, and much more. For assistance with maternal and child health, call 800-TELLINK. That's 800-835-5465.
Sponsored by the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services.
Due to the Memorial Day holiday, our next live broadcast of Law and Gospel will be on Tuesday with the Reverend Mark Smith as we take a look at the hymn selected for Holy Trinity, Come Holy Ghost, Creator Blessed. But it's Trinity Sunday. Why that hymn?
Weekday mornings beginning at 9:30 on KFUO.
You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Joining us on by phone this morning, Dr. Leopold Sanchez. He's the director for of the Center for Hispanic Studies and also the chair for Hispanic Ministries and associate professor of systematic theology at Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis. Dr. Sanchez, the fifth National Hispanic Lutheran Convention is coming up this summer. Tell us more about it. You mentioned it'll be taking place in Tampa, Florida, correct?
Yeah, it will be taking place at the Grand Hyatt Tampa Bay Hotel in Florida, July 28th through 31st. So it's a Monday through Friday event. We begin with opening worship on Tuesday night. And since I am the president-elect, I will be given the message, and I will focus on the theme of the convention, which comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And that's, you know, when Philip comes across the Messiah, he's all excited about it, comes back to Nathanael, says, "We have found the Messiah, we have seen the Messiah." And Nathanael says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" and, you know, Nazareth in Galilee. And Philip said, "Well, come and see." The reason being, you know, if you were the right kind of Jew back then, you were supposed to be from Jerusalem. You know, that's where the temple was. That's where the smart people were, you know, the rabbis, those who spoke for God, you know, and so on. And so nobody would, in their right mind, think that the Messiah could actually come out of Nazareth. Because Nazareth, you know, that was closer to Greek-speaking peoples. Jews from Jerusalem sort of looked at the Galilean Jews with suspicion. We know also that they had accents. They could easily be spotted, you know, by the way they spoke. And so they were seen as a little bit backward sometimes, you know, not as pure and as righteous. So to say that something good could come out of there. And then Philip gives us the invitation, come and see, you know. And it's amazing to think, you know, Peter, you know, when our Lord was, the cross, the death on the cross was imminent for his Lord, those who found out that Peter was one of his disciples thought that he was because of the accent, you know. So it's interesting to think of Jesus as somebody who might have had an accent. And so, and somebody, you know, that God works his salvation from the most unlikely places, and also among the most unlikely people, like all these Galilean disciples of his. And so we wanted to highlight, you know, this theology of the cross, you know, that God shows his power through weakness. God shows his wisdom through foolishness, or what the world this is as foolish. And so, you know, when we talk about Hispanic workers who serve the Lord and our synod, they often serve in Galilean context, you know. In other words, in marginal areas, sometimes among the poorest of the poor, they often face difficult financial problems, unfounded prejudices, and they crave for gospel-centered collegial guidance and encouragement from the body of Christ. And so we wanted to highlight how God can work and how we can celebrate what God is doing out of this somewhat marginal places. And we wanted to celebrate the health and the vitality and the growth of our Hispanic workers and their ministries. And that's what we're doing, you know. So that's going to be the theme of the convention. And we're really looking forward to that.
Who I understand you'll be speaking, you'll be preaching at this convention. Who else will be at the convention? Who might attend the convention?
Well, we'll have other presenters. We basically have four plenaries. They're all focused on this kind of theme, but we've asked people to present it from different angles. So one of the presenters is noted Hispanic writer, Lutheran writer, primarily in Spanish, and his name is Giacomo Cassese. He's the son of Italian immigrants to Venezuela, who migrated to the United States many years ago. And he's going to give more of a historical approach. Then the next day we'll have Pastor Adolfo Borges from Prince of Peace in Orlando, and he will give more of an exegetical, biblical perspective. Then we have Pastor Oscar Benavides from Dallas-Fort Worth area, and he will give more of a missional perspective. And then we've invited a speaker from Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service to do a plenary on, you know, working among immigrants, which you always find in Hispanic communities, you know, almost always. And so that's more of a mercy justice component. And so for plenaries, President Matt Harrison is scheduled to preach for the closing service. And then we have a number of workshops on all kinds of topics that people sign up for. And, you know, those include workshops on working with second, third generation Hispanics, resources for financing your Hispanic mission, how do you use technology in the church if you're going to use it, things on the health of the family of the Hispanic worker, so how the family fits into this, ways of connecting with the community. So, you know, people like Carlos Hernandez from the Office of National Mission will be there. We have also people from the Center for Hispanic Studies or adjunct faculty. There's also a program for the ladies and deaconesses, a special gathering on Friday. And, you know, workshops, some of them are in Spanish, some of them are in English, some of them are bilingual, so you pick. And we will have a children and youth program, and so that gives a little bit of time to the parents, you know, to be able to be at the convention floor and attend the workshops. Who can come? You know, anybody in Hispanic ministry, the United States, you know, anybody who's has a passion and desire to reach out to Latinos, you know, also welcome. You know, you might not have a vote, you know, only those who are workers serving in Hispanic congregations or ministries get to vote during the business part of the convention. But everyone has a voice. And as I said before, a big emphasis is actually on the teaching and the fellowship. So there is plenty to do. There's even time one afternoon for tourism where you can go to Ybor City. There's a lot of Cuban history in that part of Tampa. You can also go to Clearwater Beach. We'll have some buses to take people there. Or you can just stay at the hotel and hang out. They have a couple of pools there. So,
sure. A lot of great food in that part of Tampa. Well, Tampa in general just has a lot of great restaurants, a lot of fun places to visit. As you mentioned, in Ybor City and Clearwater Beach, it'll be a fun place for some fellowship.
Tampa is a very, very diverse city with a lot to offer, actually. I've been going there for years. The Center for Hispanic Studies of Concordia Seminary had a satellite there for some time. And some students actually were admitted into the program from the area. And yes, it's not only Cuban anymore, you know. You have also an influx of people from Colombia. And there have always been Puerto Ricans, you know, especially in the Tampa area, and people of Mexican background, too.
Sure.
I always tell my students at the center that, you know, overall, they all have to learn to love Mexico and Mexican people because that's 60% plus of the Hispanic population of the United States. And that's not hard to do. Mexico has a very rich history. I mean, many people growing up heard many of the greatest songs of songwriters from Mexico. It's a mariachi tradition. You know, there's the history of the Aztecs. I mean, there's so much of a rich heritage there we're happy to embrace. And, of course, you know, depending on where you land, also the Cuban presence, the Puerto Rican presence. Really quite amazing.
Dr. Sanchez, with just a few seconds left, where can we find out more about the 5th National Hispanic Lutheran Convention?
Well, to do so, I will go to the Synodical website, LCMS, and look for Hispanic Convention. Do a search for Hispanic Convention. That will be the easiest way. It'll take you to a page where you can find a link to the registration. And if it says that it's a lay registration, don't worry about it. Just send the regular amount. Don't worry about being late.
All right. LCMS.org and look for Hispanic Convention. You can find out more. Dr. Leopold Sanchez, Director of the Center for Hispanic Studies in the Werner RH, and Elizabeth Ringer Krauss, Chair for Hispanic Ministries and Associate Professor of Systematic Theology at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Dr. Sanchez, thanks so much for being our guest this morning on His Time and spending this time with us.
Muchas gracias.
Thank you very much. God's blessings for you and all those gathering at the convention this summer. Coming up in just a little bit, we have our study of the daily New Testament reading. Today we'll study with Pastor Larry Bean from Salem Lutheran Church in Gretna, Louisiana. We're going to get into Luke chapter 22 this morning. Stick around. His time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.